Thank you for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Connect with us on social media to receive daily inspiration by searching at Your Faith Church on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Get live streaming notifications, receive daily encouragement, and stay up to date on the latest information. Follow, like, and subscribe today.
Today I have a fresh word. Everybody say fresh word. It is a fresh word, and it's a word from heaven, and it's for you. And do you know why it's for you? Because God has your best interest at heart. He sees where He wants to take you, and He wants to get you there as fast as possible. And He's been seeing some stuff hold you down. You see, He sees a conveyor belt of curse and destruction and hurt and addiction and despair and insecurity and anxiety coming out of hell, and it's being sent to our houses every day. He's just sending little enemies to everybody's house, little demons to everybody's house, trying to deliver these packages, and the problem is we've been taking them. And He said, no more, family, children of God, kings and priests. He said, we're not supposed to be receiving these packages straight from the pit of hell. We're supposed to send it back. I want you to turn to your neighbor today and tell them strong and tell them loud at every campus. Say, send it back.
Send it back.
That's what I like. Matter of fact, Jay, who was worship leading this weekend at Earth City, she was up here, and after Under the Tree, which was the Christmas production. Who all saw the Christmas production? After the Christmas production closing night, we decided we needed to go party, and we wanted to do it luxury style. We took about 20 or 30 people, and we decided to turn up. So we went to IHOP, because that's the way your pastor rolls. And as we got to IHOP, she ordered scrambled eggs with cheese. Pretty simple order, no big deal. Not me. I'm a complicated order here. Y'all ever heard of Bonquiqui? Oh, y'all are going to love me. You need to YouTube her, because she does this skit. She's a Christian female comedian, and she does a skit where she's like, welcome to King Burger. Well, you can have it your way, but don't get crazy. When I order my food, I order it crazy. I'm like, I want the New York cheesecake pancakes, but I don't want whipped cream on them. But I do want double the strawberries, but don't bring me any syrup, because I'm not going to put syrup on it. I want my eggs. I want them over easy, but I want the turkey sausage, not the turkey bacon. And you can do the hash browns, but only do them if they're extra crispy, because I don't like them when they're squishy in the middle. I know how I like it. I like it like that, ba-na-na-na-na-na. I like it like that, ba-na-na-na-na-na. If I am going to invest the calories, I don't want to eat just anything. I want to eat what I order. Do you know God in heaven has placed an order for you? Do you know God in heaven had ordered you some blessing? You know He's ordered you some health? You know He's ordered you some prosperity. You know He's ordered you some happiness. You know He's ordered you some joy. Do you know He's, I don't know if there's some blessed people here or not. Well, then I hope you're grabbing this, because at our city, they're just not sure that God in heaven is for them and not against them, that Jesus died for all these things so they didn't have to live with all these things, that we're not anchored down with chains, but He has cut the chains so that we can live in freedom. Does anybody know what I'm talking about today? So she gets these eggs, and the eggs come, and you know how it is when they're serving a million people at the table. They're like shuffling food as fast as they can, trying to get everybody food while they're hot. The waitress was doing a great job, but Jay's eggs, they didn't have cheese. And Jay was doing that thing where she caught the waitress every time she had just passed her. So she like gets the back of the waitress. She's like, and I felt so bad for her, because her eggs were sitting there getting cold. I was getting fat, and she was getting cold, right? So I'm eating, and the waitress is way down there at the end of the table, and y'all know me, I'm shy. So I saw the waitress down there. I'm like, hey, y'all, get the waitress. And then they tapped her, and she came all the way down to our end of the table. It took a five-minute walk, so many people. And she comes down there, and she's like, can I help you? And Jay was so polite. She was so sweet. She's like, if y'all would just maybe put some cheese on it, melt it in the microwave or something, that'd be awesome. I just can't hardly eat the eggs without cheese. She was ready to send it back. And, you know, a lot of times we don't send it back because, well, we don't want to cause waves. We don't want to be any trouble. We don't want anybody to spit in our food. You know, we don't want to be a pain. We don't even want to be inconvenience. We'll just take this thing that we don't like anyway. We'll just take this life we don't like anyway. Oh, we'll take this job we don't like anyway. We'll take this relationship we don't like anyway. We'll take this diagnosis that we don't like anyway, and we'll just keep consuming it. Because we're too nervous to send it back. Well, when she got there and the waitress heard it, she said, "Oh, honey, we are not going to just microwave some cheese on your eggs. We're going to get you some new eggs. We're going to cook them up in the kitchen. We're going to put some cheese on them. They're going to be the cheesiest eggs you ever did see." And Jay's like, "Well, if you're going to do all that, can I get some avocado on the side?" You see, she could have suffered with something that was never intended for her. I'm waiting until you get it. She could have walked through that meal, and we can walk through life, Weldon Spring Online Campus, with something that wasn't intended for us. Or we can go ahead and send it back. I want to look at you to look at your neighbor right now and tell them, send it back. Tell them, don't be scared. It's just going back to hell because that's where it was made. Tell them, you're just sending it home. Tell them, send it to his home. Do you think cancer came from heaven? Do you think it came from hell? Then send it back. Do you think bankruptcy came from heaven? Do you think it came from hell? Well, then send it back. Do you think heartbreak came from heaven? Do you think it came from hell? Then what are you supposed to do with it? Nah. Y'all are getting it. Y'all are getting it. Because I get these texts, like I got a text from this guy this week. And he was telling me, "Man, I got this, you know, I had this doctor's appointment, and I've gone to so many doctor's appointments, and I've been sick for so long, and I've taken all the medicine, and they're trying this trial drug, and not even it worked. And since the trial drug doesn't work, they don't even know what they're going to do with me. And they said, I'm just probably stuck like this for the rest of my life, and my faith's getting weak." And I couldn't help but think about the woman with the issue of blood. And Mark 5, here she is. She's stuck with all of this stuff that the enemy has given her for 12 long years. You see, because when the enemy comes to try and give you stuff, it's broke. It's broken. The enemy gives it to you no matter what, and you try sometimes to give it back, but the enemy's smart. He's not going to take it. He's going to send it back, but he's going to try and get us to take it, and I don't even know what that is. But how many of you know if you gave this to your child for Christmas, they'd have a fit? They would tell you, "Mama, that is not a toy. You need to go to the store and buy me a toy, a real toy, a toy that works." Would your child say that to you? Would they be shy? Would they tell you how it is? Would they send it back? Isn't it funny how the Bible says out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? The children know what's happening. But the children know what's happening, but the enemy, he's like, "No, it's broke." He's going to try and make it look cute, and he's going to give it right back to you over and over again. Try and sell us on it. And this is what was happening to the woman with the issue of blood. She was loaded up with all of these broken pieces. You see, her society, her relationship life was broken because she couldn't even go out in public because she was bleeding. And it was illegal to go out in public when you're bleeding back in that day. You could go to prison or even be stoned. So her relational life was broken, and then her marriage life was broken because she couldn't get married because of all of this going on. And then her health life was broken because her body was bleeding, and she had spent, it says in the Bible, all that she had in verse 26, all that she had on doctors, all that she had on medicines. She had tried everything, and she had let go of everything, but she wasn't holding on to it. It was holding on to her. The devil kept holding it on to her. She'd try and get away. She'd try to go to the doctor. She tried to do what she could. Friends, do you know that faith is not us figuring out how to fix the problem? Let me ask that question again. Do you know that faith is not us figuring out how to fix the problem? Faith doesn't even begin until our ability ends. So what you see is She went to the doctors and they couldn't fix it. She went, you might have been on the medicine and that didn't fix it. You might have gone on the trial drug and that didn't fix it. And then we say things like, I just don't know. My faith is getting weak. My friend, I'm here to tell you, your faith is not getting weak. Now your faith has the ability to get started. Now that we know that the doctor can't fix it, now the great physician can absolutely step in and no doctor can take the glory. No medicine can take the glory. No drug can take the glory, but God will get the glory. We won't think that the doctor misdiagnosed it. We'll know that God absolutely did a miracle. Can somebody at some campus just praise Him for how good He is? So she pushes through and she touches the hem of His garment. And when she touches the hem of His garment, she's healed. But as soon as she's free, get this. Verse 35 says, and before He even finished speaking, the enemy was already back trying to plant some more seeds of doubt. You see, because when she got healed, Jesus wasn't there to heal her. He wasn't even supposed to be in town. He was passing through town because he was going to Jairus' house. Jairus' daughter was dying, and so he was supposed to go to Jairus' house to heal Jairus' daughter. So he's passing through town to go to Jairus' house, and that's how he ended up seeing her, and that's how she pressed through the crowd to get healed, because he wasn't there for her, he was there for Jairus. So he's on the way to do another miracle. God can be on His way to do a miracle for somebody else and still fit your miracle in. He was on the way to do another miracle when this happened. And she came through and she pressed in. But verse 35, I want you to pay attention to this, because people, a lot of people who've been to church know this story. If you haven't been to church, read this in Mark 5. It's only like 8 scriptures long. But this is the one I want you to hear. While he was still talking to her, go with peace in your heart, he was saying in verse 34, free from your suffering. These are the words he's saying, and then the devil's interrupting, saying, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me, excuse me. I know you're in the middle of getting your miracle and all, but I just have some doubt to plant right now. You might be healed right now. The headache might have just gone away. The pain in your back might have just gone away, but it ain't gonna last. It says, while he was still speaking, they come up and said, hey, Jesus, I know you were going to Jairus' house to heal the baby and all, but she's dead, so there's no need for you anymore. He's sitting here talking to her about her miracle. And the enemy's right up in here talking to them about the problem. You see, the enemy doesn't know when to keep his mouth shut. So we just have to decide, are we going to receive what the enemy is giving us, or are we going to send it back? What are you going to do? You're going to? Come on, say it one more time. Well, then you're going to what? You're not going to take it. You're going to what? Are you going to let him pile it on you? Or are you going to? That's right. We're not supposed to take it. Makes me think of that Twisted Sister song. We're not going to take it. No, we ain't going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore. Do you guys remember them? Oh, man, they were a hot mess. But it was a good song. You're not supposed to take it. You're not supposed to take the addiction. You're not supposed to take the heartache. You're not supposed to take the insecurity. You're not supposed to take the fact that somebody told you you're not enough. You're not supposed to take the junk they're talking at the office. You're not supposed to take the low economy. You're not supposed to take that this president or this mayor is in power. You're not supposed to take it. You just say, devil, I'm sending it back. I ain't taking it. The violent taken by force. You can't be nice to the devil. You gotta put him in his place, and his place is on your foot. You've had just about enough. It's time you take your place, you stand on his head, and you rise up to your place in Christ. Can somebody give God a praise at one of these campuses today? Come on, Weldon. I need to tell you, you do not need to take what the devil has been trying to shove in your hand. You have more power than you think you have. Everything the devil has sent to you comes with a gift receipt. You ever tried to return something after a holiday and you don't have a receipt and they want to give you $2.98? Or you try and return it, and they're, well, we don't do it. We can't take anything back without a receipt. It's like the tag is on it. We can't take anything without a receipt. It's December 26th. We can't take anything without a receipt. You ever been with one of those people and wanted to smack them and get saved later? You see, that's the junk the devil's going to tell you. He said, you can't send that back to hell. It's yours. You can't send that back to hell. Your grandma and your auntie had it. You can't send that back to hell. Your grandfather left his family. Your daddy left your family, and you're going to leave your family. It's just generational, baby. It's not like you can return it. It's just who you are. It is not who you are. You are a new creature created in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. All things have become new. And I'm telling you, generational curses do not have to live in your family, because we are going to send it back. Come on, somebody. Tell your neighbor, send it back. Tell the person next to you, send it back. That's what I'm talking about. Revelation 3 verse 8. It says, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. You see, the enemy keeps bringing us stuff, and we end up getting our hands full of junk. And we get up to this door. The door is unlocked. The door is open. It's not locked, but we still need to be able to turn the handle. But what happens is we get all loaded up with junk. You see, well, you see, I'm just hurt in relationships, so I'm not getting married, and I mean, get all booed up and all, but I don't know if I can marry anybody. And everybody in my family died of breast cancer at 38, or every man in my family died of prostate cancer by the time they were 60, so I'm not even going to do a retirement plan. I'm not going to pay into my Social Security because I'm not even going to live that long. And then, you know, none of anybody ever went to college, so I'm not going to have a good job, blue-collar job. I'm just going to get a factory job, because that's what people do in my family. We get factory jobs, and if you don't get a factory job, you're not going to make it. So, and everybody, you know, we just you know, drink a little bit, just start the morning with a fifth of Jack, no big deal. It's just how we do in our family. And he'll load all this up. And there's the door right here, and it's unlocked. And God says, on the other side of this door, I have health that your family has not seen. On the other side of this door, I have addiction breaking and yoke destroying that you know not of. He said, on the other side of this door, I have opportunity that you haven't walked into yet. On the other side of this door, I have godly wisdom that will well up on the inside of you, so you say things that you weren't even ever smart enough to say. I'm not this smart, you guys. It's the anointing of God that is on my life. It's the Holy One flowing through me. I don't deserve to be up here talking to you today, but God is just that good. He gave me a load of junk in my life, and I said, devil, I'm not taking the abuse, I'm not taking the rape, I'm not taking the cancer diagnosis, and I'm not taking the molestation. The devil sent that from the pit of hell. I'm not gonna keep it. I am gonna send it back and live out the life that God called me to live. How about you? We live in this like 11-year-old building in Florida. It's a condo, and our kids live in the same building, and it was just remarkable. Our dishwasher and their dishwasher both went out like in the same week. So we had to get new dishwashers, and I got one from one company, and Austin and Morgan got one from another company, and theirs didn't work on the inside, and ours showed up at the door. It was supposed to open like this. The door went like this. How many of you know that's going to be a problem when the water starts going? So I called the place immediately, and Austin called their place immediately. Let me ask you one question. Would you have been nervous to call and ask them to send you a new dishwasher after you just spent hundreds of dollars to buy that one? You know, it's funny. We're not nervous about some of the big things to send it back. But let me ask you this question. How many of you have ordered food, it's come wrong, and you didn't take the time, you didn't bother with sending it back? Say amen. Amen. You see, Weldon Spring, sometimes we go ahead and we let the little things load up. He's like, well, it's just a headache. I mean, well, it's just my back goes out sometimes. Well, it's just that my boss doesn't like me. It's just, you don't understand. It's just that, you know, he can't control himself. He's just so cute. I'd be telling him, that's all right, bae. You be cute. I look good in orange. The There are so many people who are glad they're not married to me. The devil keeps trying to give us all these little things. But we can't be nervous to send it back. Don't live with the little stuff. Don't live with the anxiety. Don't live with the insecurity. The devil has been telling you there's not room for you. The devil has been telling you you're not smart enough. The devil has been telling you that you're not gifted enough. The devil has been telling you you haven't had time to get the experience. The devil has been telling you that you're not qualified enough. I'm here to tell you all things are possible with God. And when we pray about it, and when we step into Him as anointing, and when we let Him anoint us, we can do anything. Matter of fact, it's when we are weak that He is able to be strong and He can show out for us. So we don't have to be strong enough to pull it off. We just have to go to Him in prayer and let Him do it for us. But we gotta have our hands empty of what the devil gave us so our hands can be open for what God's got to give us, because we gotta tell the devil we are gonna send it back. And that devil, he gets so crafty. Matter of fact, in Genesis 1, it talks about how the devil, the serpent, was the most crafty, the most deceitful, the most skilled of any living creature on the field. He knew just what to say. He knew just how to say it. He knew how to sell. He could sell ice to an Eskimo. He could sell, I don't know, food to an anorexic. That was supposed to be funny. He could sell anything to anybody. And so here he is. He set up with Eve. I was posting about this on my Instagram as I was studying a couple days ago. It's the enemy's job, if you're a note taker. It's the enemy's job to get us to doubt what God can do. He wants us to doubt that God is good. He wants us to doubt that God wants to give us good things. He came up to Eve and he says, "Hath God said?" Can it really be that he said you can't eat from any of these trees? God never said that at all. Well, let me ask you a question. Does God want you sick? Are you sure? Does God want you broke? Are you sure? Does God want you stressed out? Are you sure? Does God want you angry? Are you sure? Does God want you addicted? Are you sure? Then why are you taking it? We need to send it back. And how many of you know it'd be easy to send back this? You'd be like, this is a hot mess. I bought the box. I paid $49.95 because they want to sell you something that costs 28 cents in China for $48.95 at Target. And you open up, I paid $49.95. I'm not taking this. But this crafty, skillful devil, he comes to you with something that looks kind of beautiful. It looks nice. Looks kind of gorgeous. I mean, you know, God, I have been praying so long for a beautiful home. I had a friend several years ago. She got an opportunity to buy a house, and she told me, she's like, "Oh, I've been praying. Every time I drive to work, I see this house. It's gorgeous. I just pray over this house." And this house has been for sale forever, and they marked it down huge. They marked it down. I'm making up these numbers, and they're all wrong. But there's this, like, $5 million house, and they marked it down to $2.5 million. And I know what she makes, and they live in a $250,000 house, and they can barely make those payments. And she's like, "But they marked it down so much. I just knew that was God telling me that it was my time and my blessing had come." And she was selling her house, and she was buying that house. And I was bummed. I was sad. But she's like, "You know, God told me, God told me, God told me." I just want you to repeat something after me. I want you to repeat, say, "I have to know that there are other voices besides God's voice." That's so important. There's the voice of our pride. There's the voice of our desire. There's the voice of our flesh. There's the voice of the enemy whispering in our ear. We have to be so careful to pray when something looks so shiny, so good, when it doesn't take faith. Well, she's like, "I'll have faith to pay the payments." There's a difference between faith and foolishness. I'll have faith to pay the payments. Well, baby, where, how, when? If God wants to give you the house, I think he's going to give you the job to be able to pay for the house. He's going to be able to give you the provision so that you don't lose everything. I think we're getting the things out of order. I'm not saying this was never her house. I was saying this wasn't her time. Maybe somebody was supposed to buy that house, and then they were supposed to go bankrupt, and then she was supposed to buy that house at $250,000 that she could afford because they had gone bankrupt. And instead, she moved into the house, and she went bankrupt. And she moved out of the house that sat vacant for months because nobody else was going to pay that for the house. And when she had to go move in with her parents... I'm sorry, she didn't move in with her parents. She moved into an apartment. She had a $250,000 beautiful home. And now she has a bankruptcy and an apartment. I don't know if y'all can see what's in there or not. But this is a box I don't want to drop because it's got two tarantulas and a snake. It looked beautiful on the outside, but it's deceitful. I got another friend, took a job. It's not that you don't wish the best for your friends. This is why, friends, these are our banner years. These are our banner years. These are our banner years. God is going to do some great and amazing things. Let's just watch out for that wacky temptation, though, to take something that's not God. A delay is not a denial. With God, it is never for less, it's always for more. But there is temptation. Everybody say temptation. Temptation. One of the things the devil is trying to send us is temptation, and we got to be just as willing to send the broke stuff back as we are to send the temptation back and tell them, that looks good, and that's where I'm heading, but that one isn't mine. This isn't my time. I know God set me up, but he's not setting me up for a breakdown. He set me up for a breakthrough, and I'll be back. Don't you forget about me. I'm going to live in that neighborhood, but it's not going to be that expensive house. God's going to get me a house at my price. And they took this job, and it was a shiny job, and they thought they were qualified. But how many of you know some folks aren't qualified for some things? I am not qualified to be your brain surgeon. How many of you do not want me doing your brain surgery? Say amen. Amen. How many of you do not want me giving you a root canal? Say amen. Amen. How many of you do not want me constructing the Eiffel Tower? Say amen. Amen. My job is to pray for people. That's my lane. That's what I do. That's what I'm called for. But you get this shiny thing. Ooh, it looks so good. It's amazing. Did you see the pay? And they're going to take me. They're going to take me. They're going to take me. I'm going to move my family. We're going to uproot. I've got this great, amazing job, and it makes so much money. And oh my gosh, I'm going to be the CEO. I'm going to be on the board. I'm going to be the vice president. I'm going to be the head of sales. I'm going to be, oh, yes. I'm going to be so validated, and I am going to be awesome. Looks so good. My friend moved her family across the country. And it was just 90 days later, after she had sold her home in the city that she came from and was in a lease that she couldn't get out of, that she was moving back across the country with her and her kids and her husband to live with her mama. Because the devil is deceitful. We got to watch that temptation. We got to watch for those broken things. He's going to try and load you down with all the wrong stuff so that we're not available for all the right stuff. One more story as I close. So I was talking to this one teenager. Just this past week, I was talking to this guy, and he's dating this girl, and it's getting serious, and, you know, he's thinking about buying a ring, and I was just like, so tell me about, you know, tell me about her walk with God. He's like, well, she doesn't really come to church. This kid's like in church, around church, live in church, reading his Bible, on fire. And I'm like, showing him church? He's like, no, but it'll be all right. And I said, let me ask you about your daddy. Tell me about how that's going. You see, because his dad, it had been great for 20 years in their family, but his dad just up and one day just lost it and left. Started doing drugs, having an affair, living crazy. He didn't even know who he was. And so I talked to him and I said, this is what I don't want happening to you. Because the decisions that we make today, if you're going to take a note, maybe right now is a good time. If the decisions that we make today, we don't necessarily see the benefits of today. It might be 3 years. It might be a generation. In Daniel 1, Daniel was a captive. He got carried off to another land. And he was a prisoner of war, basically. But what they did is they identified that he was smart, and they put him in a program, and they started teaching him, and they said, here's what you're going to do. You're going to be in this program. You're going to go to this school. You're going to eat all the king's dainties. You're going to get filet mignon every day, red wine every day, baked potato every day instead of the prison mush. And he said, that sounds fantastic, but I know what's not good for me. Instead, I would like spinach and kale and carrots and water. And I am obviously not related to Daniel. He passed the temptation, and it made room for his provision. He passed his temptation. It made room for his provision. But it wasn't 10 days. It wasn't 2 weeks. It wasn't this year. It was 3 years. But in Daniel 1, it talks about 3 years later, the king came, and Daniel and his three friends. That's why you got to have the right people around you. You got to have the right eye connect. You got to have those people who believe like you. You got to have those people who pray like you, because you can get weak if it's just you. But when the right Jew's with you, they're like, no, we're all having spinach for dinner. Those four men went from prisoner to powerful at the top of the government in one day. But it took 3 whole years. The decisions we make today, we might not see the result of them for years. But they're decisions we still have to be willing to make to send it back. Decisions we're still willing to make to pass the temptation. Because when we do, I told him, I said, if she's the right girl for you, marry her. But what if you're called to be the next Billy Graham's grandfather? And that's not in her bloodline, but God has another girl in mind for you that loves him, is hot after God, has skillful wisdom, is a wise woman, is a beautiful wisdom, a charismatic woman with a great personality. And he needs your blood mixed with her blood so that he can come here and not maybe create your child, but maybe your child's child. And they're called to greatness. All of that is forfeited if you come over here. Not every blessing shows up tomorrow. Some of them show up in our generational prosperity. So with every head bowed, Weldon, online, my friends on television, and every eye closed, I just want you to join me in the international sign of surrender. If you have been bogged down with some stuff that you know you've got to send back to the enemy, it's not yours, but you've held on to it, lingering pain in your heart, insecurities that have kept you from living out your full call. Depression, sleepless nights, that is not what God created you for. So with our hands raised to heaven, I just pray right now. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for all of my integral, strong, honest friends who come to you and say, God, on and of our own, we are not enough. But we were never called to be enough. We were called to be reliant on you. We were called to recognize you as Lord, recognize you as Savior, recognize our need for you in our life. And that's what we do right now. We push away our pride and we push away our ability, and we invite you to come right in the middle of our life, God. And right now we send back everything that has been holding us back, and we send it to the pit of hell. And now our hands are open, and now our hands are available. And we say, Father, rain down your blessings from heaven. We will steward them well. We will be generous, and we will bless other people. I call for breakthrough and favor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If that blessed you today, would you just praise God? Woo!
We're glad you joined us today. We know God is doing so much in and through your life, and we want to hear about it. If you take a moment and send us an email and tell us your story at yournewfriend@faithchurch.com. Also, if you'd like to support and partner with this ministry, we'd love for you to go to faithchurch.com/give and simply select the best giving option for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoyed today's message.